Hey guys, Liam Duggan here, captain of the 4WD podcast. We're driven by the Shelter Brewing Co. and are a part of Backchat Studios. You can support us on Patreon, where you can get bonus content and episodes before everybody else. Head to patreon.com/the4WD podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Good tune. All right, the Southern River Band with Let It Ride bringing us in. This is the 4WD podcast driven by Shelter, joined by my co-host Ronnie Darr once again, mate. Day two of the Perth 4WD show.
It is day two. Feels like day five.
It's been a long haul, hasn't it? I thought you were busy in Sydney and Adelaide, but Perth is a whole different story, mate.
Yeah, Perth is a beast.
The king's home.
Yep. The king. Oh, come on, mate.
Oh, you like that one. No. Introduce the guest on the left for us, please.
Well, we have Luke from On Track Fabrication. He likes to glue metal. How are you, mate?
Hey, guys.
That's about right. Yeah,
sorry about that. I didn't know
you could do that with the mic.
That's actually
a bit fancy, isn't it?
That's your first time, but I reckon you might have done this before, mate.
Oh, possibly. I don't know where, but.
I like it. Hey, mate, thanks for joining us.
No worries.
How's the show been for you so far?
Yeah, pretty good. Yep. Getting a lot of interest with what we're doing. So, yeah, it's actually quite good this year.
Yeah, nice. And what is it that you do for those that don't know? Or
We build trays, canopies, do chassis extensions, tool cab conversions, that for 4WD drives.
Yep.
Land Cruisers mainly. Do a lot of Hiluxes and that as well. Starting to get into the truck scene now a bit as well. Like the MPS 300s and stuff like that. Yeah,
so, I'm a fan.
So it's good, yeah.
What about Rangers, mate?
Rangers? Don't know about those.
You've got a test dummy if you want to try
something. Oh, yeah, I'll definitely
do Rangers. Yeah, you've got to try something out, mate. She's all yours.
Yeah. Right.
What's been your popular sort of, for the show and for business as usual day to day, what's sort of your mainstay for your customers?
What's the main thing, yeah?
So the core business was doing dual cab conversions on 200s and stuff like that.
Yep.
That's sort of quieting down a bit now because the 300 come out. I don't think they're as popular. We've got the 300 series U over there at the moment.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Right. I think I'm look at that.
It's just not because of basically everyone's gone American trucks now because of towing capacity stuff.
Yep.
So the Land Cruisers and that aren't as popular to do the conversions that are, in my opinion, at the moment.
Okay.
So we're more mainly concentrating on trays, canopies, and chassis extensions.
Yep.
And obviously getting to the truck stuff now as well.
Yeah, righto.
They've also discontinued the 200 now, so that's probably why.
They did. As soon as the 200 sort of got discontinued, it all sort of really slowed up.
Yep, righto. I'm going to quickly jump in because obviously we're doing this at the show, so there's a bit of background noise, there's sirens and the main stage going off, so I apologise if there is any
stuff
to people listening in. I want to take us back to the start, mate. How'd you get into the industry? Were you a keen 4WD driving, camping sort of guy and then got into it, or did you just stood on the fabrication side of things and that's how you found your way in?
This is a long story.
We've got plenty of time.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time, mate.
So the way it started... back in my younger days, in another life, I was a bodyboarder. And to get to surf breaks, I bought a 4WD drive. And I was doing my apprenticeship at the time as a vehicle bodybuilder.
Yep.
And my foreman at the time had a little Suzuki Sierra, and he used to go out to the hills to the old school tracks that don't exist anymore.
Righto.
And he used to build bar work and all that for just all his own stuff. Yep. And then I bought a patrol.
Don't hold that against him.
I've still got two, so come on. I bought an old GQ, and it was basically bought for going on surfing trips.
Yep.
And then my foreman sort of said, "Oh man, have you seen this?" And I sort of went, "I like this." So I started going up to the hills with him, and then one of my cousins started taking me up to the hills, and I was like, "I want to start building stuff." So I built some rock sliders, then it turned into a bumper, and then mates are like, "Oh man, can you build me this? Can you build me this?" And then I was building stuff in my carport like after hours for years, like just in my little single carport. And then I built a shed at home, and then we started racing patrols.
Oh, yeah.
And so I started building race cars. And then in 2012, I think it was, Chris, my wife, was like, "Oi, you're getting you need to get a business name because everyone's coming."
Yep.
And then we did the business name, did a few races, and the guys who were racing, like, "Oh, hey, can you build us a roll cage for a new car? Can you do this? Can you do that?" And then it just... we got that busy at home after hours, just helping people out and that. We got to the point where it was like, "Man, got to do something." So we opened it up, and then we're doing bar work and all that stuff for years. And then it just diverged into what we're doing now. Yeah,
yeah, right.
What's your favourite thing to build? Like, out of all the things that you build, what's your favourite thing?
What, now or of all time?
Of all time. Let's go all time.
I really love building trays. Roll cages were awesome to build because it's a pretty big art to do that.
Yeah, okay.
I want to say probably trays and roll cages are my favourite thing to build.
Righto.
And we build trays still, but roll cages, I haven't built one for about 10 years. So.
Yeah. You might need to build one for 79, actually.
Yeah.
Being close a couple of times.
Oh, come on, mate.
He doesn't wheel hard enough to need a roll cage.
Oh, yeah, sure. Challenge accepted.
Mate, look at your beautiful tray on the car. I've done so much damage to it.
Yeah, no, but the panels are still too nice.
Hey, actually, something I did want to mention, the little Ronnie's little tap underneath there, is that your fine work?
Yeah, it is.
That is a masterpiece. I was pretty impressed by that.
Oh, when he told me he smashed a rock on it, I thought, I was going to need a new door. And then when we saw it, it's actually not that bad, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's all right. It looks cool. It looks clean.
It was stuck on a tree too at one stage. And
still
where?
Oh, the tray.
Oh, the tree went between the headboard and the cab.
Did it?
And everyone was too busy looking underneath the car, spotting me. And I was like, "Guys, there's a tree.
There's a tree in the car.
There's a tree trying to rip my tray off."
Yeah, right.
Oh, it's a good test then. Didn't come off.
Oh, yeah.
And it's aluminium as well.
Yeah.
where do we find you, mate?
We're in Nirrabup.
Righto.
Which is north of Perth.
Yep.
So around Bankshire Grove.
Yeah, righto.
Raceway sort of way.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So keep yourself close to the track.
South Geraldton.
Yeah, just about. Hey, now I want to take you back again. So I've got a little bit of inside word, maybe.
No, here we go.
But apparently there's a decent story about how you and Ronnie first met.
Oh, yeah.
I've been told about this, not by you, obviously, because you're shocked too.
It's not a decent story. It's just a weird story.
I'm looking
a weird story.
Yeah, it's not weird. Well, obviously, we were building bar work and that at the time, and Ronnie rocked up. And I've never really watched YouTube or anything,
Okay,
and Ronnie rocked up the first time, and it was rock sliders, wasn't it? Yeah, it was.
Oh, was that for the... Yeah, 79.
Yeah. 79. And he's rocked up and he said, "Oh, can I get a quote for some rock sliders?" I've given him a quote, booked the job in, and a couple of weeks later, I think you dropped the car off, and I think I needed it for a week. Yeah, and it was sitting like, so when we weren't working on the cars, we were sitting out the front, and all these people coming on, "Oh, is that Ronnie Dale's car? Is that Ronnie Dale's car?" I'm like, "Who the fuck's Ronnie Dale?" Like, and so then Riss is like, "We should get on YouTube and see who he is." And we got on YouTube, we're like, "Oh, he's kind of a big deal on the internet." And it was just funny because we just had no idea, and all these people were like, "Man, do you know whose car this is?"
Yeah,
like,
right.
You got
this beacon out the front and you got no idea.
Yeah, no, we had no idea. And then I think we did...
I haven't heard his story.
Then we did your tray when you crashed. Yeah, you had a crash, and then we did a tray for
him. Yeah, using insurance money to do that one.
Yeah, yeah. But it was just funny that, we had no idea. And all the customers were like, "Oh, man, do you know who it is? It was funny.
I thought you were the king of Perth, mate. Maybe you did a bit of work to do. That's very funny. Also, another thing, because I got told I'd give you a bit of shit, so...
Oh, yeah, right, eh?
But the work you actually do, you just...
Glue
metal?
Yeah, I glue metal together. That's what I tell everyone.
That's what you tell everyone?
Yeah. Oh, people say, "What do you do for a living?" I say, "Glue metal together."
Well, it's a decent glue job. But...
Yeah, no, I don't know. I just take the piss out of myself. That's what you
got
to do.
Well, that was a couple that I got fed, so...
Yeah.
Them with these, mate.
You use those glue sticks. Very shiny.
The blue sticks.
Cigaflex gun.
That's very good. Hey, mate, what are you driving at the moment?
Oh, good question. What am I driving at the moment? I've got a GQ Patrol I'm driving at the moment.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Not the original. that you bought?
No,
that's way back
in,
when?
No, that's in Croatia now, that car.
Actually, oh, is it in Croatia?
Yeah, so really? That was our family touring car.
Yep.
Oh, when did we get off rid of that? 2012, I think it was our family touring car.
Right.
And then I turned that into a race car. And then it eventually got turned into an extra cab. Then we barrel rolled it a few times at one of the races. And then we built another car. And I sold that car to another guy who turned it into like a buggy and sent it to Croatia. And then he went and did Croatia Trophy, like the off-road over there. Right, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's still over there.
That's a very well-traveled
trip. Still going.
It is, and now I've got another one now, just a blue thing that I drive around in.
Yeah, it says just a blue thing. It's wicked.
Is it over here?
Yeah, it's on display. Oh, yeah. No one knows I've got it, and everyone's like, man, you got to take it, because it's pretty... Oh, it's all right.
There's not many of them around that look like in that good nick at the moment.
Yeah, no, I've literally chopped it into an extra cab. And it just did a nice paint job on it, and it looks cool, but...
Yeah.
I know, it's just a patrol.
how many people have thought it was a 79?
I don't know. All the young crew know it's a patrol.
Yeah, okay.
Young crew just know it's a GQ.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're all just, oh, can you open the bonnet? I'm like, no. And why not? I said, because it's no good.
I feel like having a GQ is a bit of it's a sort of a right of way. There's something about GQ patrol. Yeah. Like, even for me, who's not, I'm not that into that sort of stuff, but it's like, even I know, like, oh, yeah, he's GQ. Like, yeah. You mean business.
Like, yeah.
You're into it. Like,
you want to follow that guy up that track?
Yeah, like, I won't go where you go.
Where's he going?
Usually, GQs they're good because you just beat on them.
Yeah. Now, what other cars you got on display?
We've got the 300 Series Ute.
Which is chopped?
Yeah, 300 Series Ute and extended.
Yep.
Hilux 79 Series and just the GQ
I'll be making my way over there.
Tell us what happened to your 79 recently. Yeah, crazy. It's so crazy. He's lucky to be here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Shit. No, so we dropped the customer's car off in Bunbury for him. And on the way back, remember a couple of, what was it?
The
8 weeks ago, I think. Yeah, there was this one day, it was just a hectic storm.
Yep.
And we're coming back down Forest Highway and the wind got really strong and that's like, I better slow down a bit. Got down to 100 and all of a sudden there was just a big explosion and a tree branch had dropped and fell vertical straight out of the sky, straight through the front windscreen onto the dash. Yeah, the car got pretty... Oh, it's not written off or anything. It's actually... There's a little bit of damage, but it's not too bad.
It's been repaired.
Yeah, it's been repaired,
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, how big are we talking?
Oh, it's probably, 600 mil round, I reckon, yeah. It wasn't small.
What are the chances?
It just smashed all the top of the dash and the windscreen, and
It's basically stabbed through it, like...
Yeah, no, it actually felt like the branch was and it just went sideways straight through it, so it was a bit of a shock. Spewing about because we haven't been able to do any trips or anything since that's happened.
Yeah,
but that's
right.
Didn't it jam your fingers between the
steering wheel and the dash? Yeah, there's the little visor on the dash.
Oh, it's
where your instrument cluster is. There's that little visor. Yeah. That actually came back and smacked me in the hand. And it was a big hit.
I've never heard a story of that. it's pretty that nature.
Oh man, like who would think a tree was going to come through your window?
Don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
That is. Yeah, that's bizarre. Yeah,
I've had some big hits and cars over the years. Just racing and stuff, but never had anything like that before. we have had a tree come through the windscreen before, actually.
Towards the tree that time.
It was in my orange car and we were doing a comp down in 2J and my navigator, Daz, we were going through this track and all of a sudden this tree came straight through the windscreen. He's like, man, brake! And like slammed the brakes on and I literally like this close to his face.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and if you ever see some photos of that comp, you'll see halfway through the comp that one side of the windscreen is completely taped white because there was a big hole in it.
Wow.
And everyone's like, I don't know how you're still alive, Daz. And the tree, just went boom and stopped right in his face.
Wow. Final destination stuff.
So that was the only other tree experience we've had.
Jeez. Well, I haven't had any myself, so you're two ahead of me.
Oh, we've hit a few. Well, I've hit a few trees with the outside panels, but that's all
right. Yeah, yeah.
That's part of the business.
Part of fun.
Yeah, it is.
I know whatever you're putting out then is well tested. I know that.
As I say, all the stuff we used to build, I used to put on all my own cars and we used to race with it. That's how I knew it was going to work.
Yeah.
And then we sort of lightened it up and dulled it down a bit because it probably was a bit overkill, some of it.
Yeah, okay.
But it still works. So yeah. That's all that matters.
How's your business set up these days? You got a team up there?
Got 5 boys.
Yeah.
And then me and my wife, Riz.
Yep.
We're just pretty small family business.
Yeah, right.
Get stuff done.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the boys, awesome. Yeah, like everyone. We got a real young crew.
Okay.
I think my oldest guy's maybe 24, 25.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 25.
Oh,
right, yeah, right. Yeah. So I got a real young crew, yeah, which is good because everywhere I've ever worked, I was always that young guy.
Yep.
And I was always like end up being the foreman and that. And yeah, I just yeah.
It's the old.
I won't say
can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah. And yeah. I won't say my usual saying for that because it's probably not really good. For this,
old dog, dog
for you did, yeah.
With your product, how do you is it? Do you update and develop the product? So I'm assuming you're in the business in the industry, you have to keep. You sort of do. You have to keep sort of
with
coming up with new ideas.
Yeah,
I'm assuming the new vehicles that come out help with the ideas. But
yeah, so like from when, like with the canopies, for example, when we started building the canopies,
yep,
to from where we started building to where they are now is two completely different products.
Yep.
But there's only so many ways you can skin a cat as well. Mm. So with our canopies, we're pretty much at the point now where you can't really do much better. But then doing stuff like we're doing built-in rooftop tents, we're starting to look into all that sort of stuff now and sort of modernizing, making stuff that no one's really building yet.
Okay, yep.
I won't go into it too much because I don't want to give too much away. Yeah, but no, I've got some.
If you fabricate listening,
yeah,
good on them.
Glue and metal,
yeah,
Sikaflex, that's
yeah,
what you use.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I've got a few things in the pipelines of some new stuff that fewer European countries are doing that no one's doing in Australia.
Right,
yet.
Yep.
Because I look right into that European style of camping and what they're doing.
Yeah. Right.
And some of the stuff they're doing over there is just no one's ever seen it in Australia.
Like, as in terms of the concept or just,
yeah, just the concept,
the quality?
Living inside the vehicles, not having to tow and stuff.
Yep.
There's some really cool designs out there.
I'm not going to prompt you anymore. I won't tell you too much when you're ready. But what's your? You go.
Yeah, so there's something over at your stand at the moment that I haven't actually. Well, I saw for the first time yesterday.
Oh yeah,
the trailer.
Oh, the trailer. Yeah, sorry, I've got the trailer on display as well.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So the trailer. Oh, so here you go.
It's a super cool concept because I've seen what you've done. You've kind of like, it's kind of like everything in one. So you can keep your ute like that and you can hook it up to the back so you don't, you know, if you don't want to put a canopy in your car, you can literally use the trailer, right?
That's exactly
is that
what
the
it
concept?
Is. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay.
So the customer, me and one of the boys, George, we have thought about building this concept for a while because no one has, I haven't actually seen anything
yeah, like
it
before. Like
is it a canopy on wheels or something?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. It's a canopy on a trailer chassis.
Right, yeah.
And we're going to build one for the show, and then a customer of ours heard us talking about it, and he's like, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "Oh, that's what I want." I was like, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah, man, I want that." So we've built it for him.
Right.
It's pretty much, yeah, a canopy on wheels, but it's got 255 litres of water under it. It's full off-grid. Like, it's got a rooftop tent. So it's basically a canopy set up on a ute that you tow.
Yeah.
Right, and you've got 255 litres of water. And his setup, he's a 79 dual cab with a small canopy, but a dinghy on the roof. That's going to be his setup to go around, and you can base camp as well.
There's
a base camp, like, I know. I like base camping. Depends.
Yeah,
well, that's actually great prelude. That's going to be my next question. What's your camp setup?
Depends who I'm going with. if I'm going with the wife and kids.
Yep.
We've got like a little hybrid caravan that we take.
Yep.
So we've got a hybrid caravan.
Caravan's a bit of a sore point over here.
Oh, God, don't bring that back in
there. He's only upset because he hasn't got one. he'll see the light eventually.
He's halfway there.
Yeah. No, so we've got a little hybrid, and we do, it's good living out of that, especially because every year we do a month on the road.
Oh, righto. Awesome.
And on that month on the road, if you're living in, you couldn't live in swags with kids and that, it'd be a bad time. But if I go with the boys or by myself or whatever, I've literally got a carton of piss, an esky, and a swag.
Yeah.
And that's how I go. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's got a carton of shelter.
Yeah. We'll sort it out. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, no, that's all I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, nice. Yeah, I can go basic. Or I can go,
yeah.
I mean, we camp pretty basically anyway.
Yep.
But when you're living a month on the road, like we went through the centre, was it last year? Yeah, last year we did the Plenty Highway and then the Great Central Road. And, you know, swagging along there, it would just be shocking. And yeah, it was pissing out rain a couple of days.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
Getting out of hostile weather.
Yeah.
Swagging in rain is probably, it's probably not the coolest thing.
No, yet. I've done it plenty of times before. Like, I used to sleep in hutches when I was younger as well. And if it was raining, you just get drenched.
Yeah.
But no, I will camp anyway. I don't care.
Yeah, righto. So what car are you taking if you're with the family?
Yeah, we've got the 79.
79
for that. 79 dual cab. That's what we towed the caravan. And then depending on what car I've got at the time.
The 100 before.
I had the old Defender. Yeah, and that's what I used to take all the time. Cool. That was my wheeling car. And then before that was always just GQs.
Yeah, okay.
And they were all pretty basic setups.
Right. So there was this one time we're driving up this greasy hill, and he's going past. We're filming Luke come up this hill, and he goes over his bump. Out goes the swag. Out goes the ice box. Out the back, he just kept going. Yeah. On stitches, I
get that later.
Yeah, that's because I don't ever tie stuff down. I do now, but because the laws changed.
This wasn't on the road, though.
Yeah, no, it was off road, but I never used to strap anything down.
Oh, really?
I was shocking for it when I.
Yeah.
And all my shit used to just go flying out.
So if you spend a month on the road most years, where are some of your sort of destinations that you either go back to regularly or want to go back to? What are some of the highlights?
So the last 2 years we started last year, and we did Nullarbor up through like Broken Hill into Queensland, Sunny Coast, did Double Iron Point and all that.
Oh yeah.
And then we went into like Winton and like the outback Queensland, then came back across as Rock or Uluru, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
That was my probably favourite place to go on that trip. And then this year we went into Melbourne. I'd never been there before, and way too many people, like too busy. Like I couldn't handle it. We were there for I think 4 days. And I just couldn't wait to leave. It was just jam packed. But we went out to the snowfields after that. I'd never seen snow before, and that was pretty cool. Like we stayed in Bright and the Vic High Countries. Yeah, pretty cool.
It's crazy.
You've never seen mountains or roads like that ever. Well, I hadn't anyway. Like we thought WA, there's some steep terrain, but nah, Vic High Country's, crazy.
Yeah, righto.
And then how did we get home? Oh, then we did Undadatta Track and then to Coober-Pedy and all that, and that was killer. Like, the desert's where I like to be.
Yeah.
On a scale of 10, how Mad Max is Coober-Pedy?
Oh, mate, it's 11 out of 10.
That's so cool.
When you go there, it's like Mad Max cross Mars.
Yeah, it is actually
weird.
Right.
Yeah,
it's super cool. So many movies have been filmed out there too.
Yeah, I know.
The new Mad Max is coming out. So
there's another Mad Max.
It's been filmed in. They actually filmed. I've got some family in Hay. They filmed a little bit there, and I think they filmed in Silverton.
Oh, Broken Hill. Yeah,
area.
Broken,
yeah. Yeah, I reckon. Yeah. I think it's coming out soon.
Yeah,
thought it might have been out already, but
because the first two,
review that one.
The first two were filmed in around Silverton.
Were they? Yeah. Okay.
That's where the museum is.
The Mad Max Museum's in Silverton.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe I'm wrong then. Maybe that's why I had it in my head. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's coming out, apparently.
Did you go to the museum?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Was it you that went when it was shut?
No, that was Rafa.
Oh, it was Rafa.
I've been through it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. We had Rafa from Destination 4WD. He travelled back with us from the Adelaide show.
Oh, yeah.
He went through... He came through Silverton, wanted to check out the Mad Max Museum and got there on a Monday, and it must be closed on Monday.
Oh, yeah, right.
He went all that way and didn't get to see it.
But you know what? Silverton is actually a really cool town.
Is it?
I'd go back there tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
But to get in there, I think it was like 42 whoops in the road. Like, so it was like washouts.
Oh.
Have you not been there?
No. I've driven past and they're like, no, I got to keep going.
Yeah, I think it's like it's called the 42 whoop road, and it goes for... I know it's like 20 km's, and it's 42 like dips, like straight, and it's full on.
Oh right.
Yeah, telling that like the drawbar on the caravan hit the ground a few times, and
is it tarmac?
Yeah, but I was driving like a bit of a peanut. So.
Okay.
The speed limit, obviously.
Yeah, speed limit. Yeah, but some people do 40 km's long.
Oh right.
You try to do the speed limit, and but no, really cool town. Like it's small, it's bugger all to do, but it's quiet, and it's just it's just awesome.
Yeah, yep. Righto.
Yeah. Is there more in Melbourne? I take it.
Hey?
You liked it more than Melbourne, I think.
Yeah, there's no people there. So.
At the show, have you been able to have a look around yourself?
I never do, man. Like, nah. I'm lucky to leave that little spot where we are,
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us, mate.
No, Johnny had to come drag me away, so...
Yeah, Johnny's very good at that job. He seems to be able to pull... anyone out of anywhere.
Yeah, he's like a bit of a sniper.
Yeah, he's a silent assassin.
Trained in the art of habaneros.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. Oh, Luke, yeah.
Is an FJ Cruiser a Land Cruiser?
No. If you ask the owners, they probably are.
Are they? Of course they are.
Of course they are. Yeah. That's like saying Prado's a Land Cruiser.
Could we chop an FJ Cruiser?
Sorry?
Could we chop an FJ Cruiser?
Yeah, you probably can chop anything.
There you go, mate. We just tried to sell Jono's FJ Cruiser over at the main stage before. He's not really in the market to sell it, but we threw out like a... I sort of read out everything that he's got on it and the Ks and the year and all that. And we got... So Jono had his price that he gave me. I think it should be around here somewhere.
Oh, we should ask him.
We got some good prices for Jono. Really? Yeah.
Well, the 300 Series Ute for sale.
Is that for sale?
Yeah.
I've been asking most people that come on, is there should stuff buy it, for mate, sale?
Yeah. Is the phone number the price?
Yeah. No, you have to add a few more zeros, I think.
Mates rates, surely, after this.
Yeah, so. That's it. Everything's for sale for the right price.
I'll come out and look at it first.
Mates rates, take the zero off the front with the zero.
Yeah. No, that'll help. Yeah. Were you looking at me before, Jaden, for something? Check my phone, okay.
Oh,
sorry, boys. Sorry to be rude.
Are we around the rude. Phone now, are we?
Jaden's text me. Oh, here we go.
He's right here, Jaden.
Okay, here we go.
Normally, I've got the laptop and he can talk to me on that, but we've got Furiosa was shot in the New South Wales town of Hay and Silverton. Is that the new Mad Max film?
Furiosa. Oh, I don't know.
Furiosa.
That might be
Fury
the new
Road
one.
Was,
so might be right.
Was the last third one. Or fourth installment?
Oh, was it? Oh, it's already fourth? Happened.
Beyond Thunderdome was the third one.
That's right.
And then Tina Turner. Fury Road.
We've got a big fan over here.
Nah, I just used to watch the first three when I was a kid.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They're good movies.
Yeah, very good.
I used to watch it for Cars.
Yeah, did you do the roll cages on them, actually?
Nah.
You could have got a gig there.
They were too good for me.
they welded it, not glued it.
Yeah, not glued, exactly, yeah.
Hey, I reckon we might move Daniel from Dometics back, by the way.
Or are we going to get another question for Daniel again?
Oh, he's come at the right time. I don't know what sort of time we're at, but we've got a segment, Luke, around the fire pit. What are you calling it now?
Can we hear it too?
Around the tyre pit. Yeah, so
the
Max
tire
is,
pit.
Max
like
is
a burning tyre?
They probably wouldn't burn these things, are that? They're that strong.
Luke loves the Trepidors,
mate,
by the way.
Best tyre you can get. For racing, killer.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Well, they're on board for around the fire pit, we call it.
Oh, okay,
get the fire going. It's a question time.
Yeah, yeah.
But around the tyre pit, Jaden's just come up with. We've been going for 27 minutes. Is that right?
Good or bad?
Wowee, there you go. No, I just feel like it's been I feel like we've been going for ages.
Oh,
I've
been here for 5 minutes.
I think just because we're tired.
Well, that's good. I'm glad
we're talking shit.
Yeah. No, well, I want to do around the tyre pit because we've got a few people here who have been listening for a while.
Yeah. We need to encourage them in here, Jono, if you can.
Yeah. If anyone's got any questions for Luke or
it's very hard to put people
anyone.
On the spot.
Oh, have you got the fire pit going? Look how excited he is.
You can hear the fire.
He's got the
come
sound
around
effects
the fire,
going.
People. It's nice and warm.
If you do have any questions for Luke, yell out.
No one's asked me questions.
I can make some up, though. To Luke or to...
Free beer.
Free beer, free shirts. Anyone asked?
Free beer, free shirts.
Daniel's been at the Odin all night, so he's...
Maybe
Sunnies are on. Hey, what's the dream car, mate, to work on? This is your first round of the tyre pit question. Something that you haven't worked on before.
What's the craziest thing that you've built, actually?
Ooh.
That's not a race car. What's the biggest, craziest build? So I've seen some big stuff come out of there.
Oh, probably like the biggest, most full-on one we did was the Merlot 79 series we did not long ago.
The one that Jono took some photos of?
Yeah. So that was just a brand new 79. We did a coil conversion, chassis extension. It was legal on 37-inch tyres and 5-inch lift.
Right.
Did I have 37?
Yeah, it was 37s, 5-inch, yeah. Right. Just had everything done to it. Everything. There was not one thing in that car that hadn't been done to it.
Yep.
That was probably the most full-on sort of big build. But then, yeah, I don't know. I'm just wondering what the most weirdest thing I've built. I don't know.
To pick your brain on legality stuff of vehicles. So
yeah.
Oh, actually, that's a good point.
Yeah, this could go for another few hours now.
Yeah, well, that's around the tyre pit's getting a good run then. The Max tyres are on board.
So the 79 over here is ready, is pretty much ready for pit inspection. We just got to get some rubber guard around the, you know, because it's poking out a little bit. So that's pretty much ready to go. And this is a post-rego. Now, the car you spoke about before is a pre-rego.
Yes.
So 5-inch lift, 37s on a 79 series, stretched everything. And
so this has come from the factory floor to you?
Yes. Before it's registered.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, before plates are on it.
Yep.
That's the only way you can do stuff like that. So you couldn't do that to that vehicle now. Over there, unless you do like a lane change and all kinds of stuff.
No, so with a 79, for example, what you've got there post-registered at the moment in Australia, that is as big as you can go with lane change and all the rest of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can only do the 37s and all that sort of stuff pre-registered. So when the vehicle's brand new, you take it to someone like us, and then we do all the modifications on it, and it's already been federally approved through the Rover system, which is a new system that's just come out. And obviously, you have to do all the testing. So, we use Superior Engineering a fair bit, and they obviously do all the ESC testing, lane change, ESC, braking, and all that to make sure it's good enough for the road and it gets passed.
Right.
Yep. So, we thought we had to lane change that one, but we don't anymore because...
Oh, because there's already evidence of what the state government wants done federally. They can go off the SSM code and go, okay, well, that vehicle has been tested like that, so then you can get it certified like that.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So that's on 315, it's a 3-inch lift, and normally you can't just whack that on a car and then just drive out. And it's a GVM as well, legally,
And then that's going to be a 4.2 GVM.
Yes, So there's a big thing in the industry where people get a lift and they get a GVM upgrade, but they're not actually upgraded in GVM. They're upgraded, but they're not on document. So are we going too deep here?
Nah, it's all right, here you go.
Yeah, so what would you advise people to do? Like, so if they get a lift, ask the supplier or go and see an engineer?
The process? My honest opinion is if you're buying a four-wheel drive, put a GVM upgrade in it. Because if you don't, you put a bull bar on it, put a winch in it, put rims and tires on it, and you'll be overweight, technically. Yep. Like, if you don't do a GVM, you're mad.
But how do you make sure you get it certified so it is on paperwork? It is.
Well, whoever you're using, just make sure that you for a GVM upgrade, and then it has to go over the pits once it's been modified.
Okay.
If it doesn't go over the pits once it's been modified, then technically it doesn't get recorded as having a GVM upgrade.
So it's upgraded, but it's not on paperwork?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, okay. A lot of this is over my head, but... We tried to do a little bit of a episode. I don't know if we did a full episode or not,
But I wanted to get Luke on to pick his brain about it. So we'll 100%. Probably do a bit of an episode on that.
It might be worth it.
In a better setting, I could get my little drawings really dull it down. Yeah. Like, because I'm explaining stuff to people all the time. Because then we go into GCMs and it's a can of worms.
Yeah, okay.
It is a can of worms.
What's GCM?
So gross combined mass. So that's your vehicle and trailer and the maximum you're allowed to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just a big can of worms.
That's a can of worms. So I don't think we'll enter that today.
No, I'm struggling to pick up what we're rolling with here. But
yeah, the amount of stuff I've just, you know, learnt about over the last year with this car, there's a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Is that constantly being updated and regulated, or is it pretty much been set like this for a while and they're just the markers you've got to hit?
So... it's been very, very loose and very, very... I don't know what... basically, it's been very loose and nothing is actually regulated for vehicles under 4.5-tonne GVM, but there is stuff going through the systems at the moment that they're actually going to bring testing into Australia for it, because in Australia at the moment, there is no actual testing to GCM upgrade a vehicle with a 4.5-tonne or less GVM. But obviously with trucks, 4.5-tonne and over, there is all GCM stuff already in place, but there's nothing for light vehicle.
Right.
And it is stuff coming in but in the next probably year, it'll be coming in.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, some things do change. I remember when you weren't allowed to have lights on your roof. And then,
and then
there was a Jeep owner finally lobbied all that through Parliament in WA, and then they got it across the line so you're allowed to have two lights on your roof. And there was all these weird laws going on. You had to put like a thing in the middle to split because in case people thought that your 50-inch light bar was a motorbike.
Oh, right.
So yeah. it was a lot of weird stuff going on, but they clarified it. And actually, I thought they did a good job in pulling that out. I think it was a four-drive club person who was member of parliament.
Well, I had an interesting chat with a bloke in Adelaide, actually, with your... So your table here, he had a Maxtrax table on the side of his troopy, and he got fined and demerits for that.
Yeah.
On... Which I'm not sure state to state. Yeah. I don't want to get into a bit of trouble here, but...
Yeah. I don't have Maxtrax on the side.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And so I don't really want to go into that one.
Yeah, yeah. If there's too much poke, though...
It's the abrasiveness. It's something that could catch someone.
Okay.
So something...
If it doesn't stick out further than that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if it's not further out than your mirror.
But they call them like break-offs, right? So okay. That there, if you run into someone, they'll fold.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't want to say too much about that stuff hanging off the side, but I don't know if you'd actually allowed to have it because that wouldn't break off. It's all about pedestrian safety, right? So if you hit someone there, that's going to tear them apart. So I don't know. I don't actually know what the law is about something like that, to be honest with you.
It's like a sausage maker on the front of your car. That's what the Ambos call them. The fishing rod holders. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I don't actually know. Actually, I don't even know the legalities of that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But nothing can be sharp facing forward. That's a big one, even with building trays and that. You can't have any flat edges facing forward.
Okay.
Yeah, the same with bull bar construction. They used to be able to get bull bars that sort of pivoted forward, right?
Yeah, they changed all that a couple of years ago now. I can't remember what the actual code is.
Must
for
be
it.
Bloody hard to keep up.
Yeah.
It is.
The amount of codes and stuff, like Luke was quoting to me when we were talking about the car, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
we've probably lost the listeners that are like at my level.
Yeah.
Now with the stuff we're talking about.
Well,
but it's good. It's good to know because there is that side of it. Obviously, the you can't just go and do whatever you want to a car and drive around and be surprised when you get in trouble.
I'll put it bluntly from my personal experience, what I've recently had to go through. So to get all that stuff where it is now, like the frame for the back conversion, because I've converted from a 5-seater to a 4-seater, that all had to be fabricated by Luke. And then Luke had to get an engineer to okay it. And then it was something to do with like Toyota-style seat belts made it easier to do. So there's all these little things that I learned along the way. And then it was the steering wheel. That was illegal. I had to rip it out and put the original back in.
Right.
So, but I was led to believe that it was legal, but it's not. And there's a lot, you know. So anyway, just putting it bluntly, like anyone who wants to get their post-regio vehicle legal, you're going to open a can of worms in your car if you have it really modified.
Yeah, okay.
There's a lot of stuff that you can and can't do.
Yep.
And I think we'll leave it at that because I don't want to upset some people in the industry.
Yeah. Well, of course, though, like we're sort of encouraging people to be responsible around it, but it's also like you sort of...
It's that I don't fall into that trap, you know? Like, I reckon, like, you would advise someone who buys a brand new car before you register it, what are you going to do with it,
GVM,
right?
GVM, straight away. Don't think about it.
Yeah.
If you don't do it, you're silly.
Yeah, okay.
Because as soon as those plates go on the car, then you're restricted to what I can go to. And it's still good. I mean, that's more than what I need.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be able to get a 37-inch tyres on a 5-inch lift.
But even
talking,
well, I'm saying is even if it's a standard GVM.
Yeah.
Because from factory, you fill it up with some of the cars, I won't mention brands, but you fill the tank up full of fuel and it's probably over GVM technically when you're driving out the showroom.
Yeah, right.
That's that close to GVM from the factory. It's, you put a bull bar on it, you're done.
Yeah.
It's that
simple.
So I would recommend,
especially if you're towing as well.
Oh yeah, 100%. Because your ball weight, as soon as you got ball weight on the car, that's part of your GVM.
Mm.
So I've got another around the tyre question for you, but this is as simple as it gets. But when you get a GVM, what are you actually doing under there?
You're doing, well, a really basic one is shocks, front and rear, and springs front and rear, or coilovers front and rear. That's it.
So it's suspension upgrade.
Suspension upgrade. It normally gives you a 2-inch lift.
Yep.
And depending on the vehicle, it will up your GVM by 500 kilos roughly.
Right.
Depending on the vehicle, yeah.
So what would you advise then to... Is there, like, can you go up to a... Is it always just a 500 kilo increase? Or
No, not at all. So it depends on the kit, depends on the company and all that. But, like, the ones that we do a lot of, a 79's, what, 3,300 GVM from factory?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we mainly do 42...
Right.
And we're 4495.
Okay.
So it goes up a lot, but then you have to modify the car a lot. But the ones that's only really changing your, say for example on a 200 series, a 38, they're a 3350 GVM from factory, and your standard like sort of run-of-the-mill GVM will take it up to 3850, 3900.
Right.
And you're only doing very basic stuff to it.
So I basically upgrade my underneath suspension and all that.
Yeah.
And then I get to get the paperwork.
Yes.
If I don't have the paperwork, even though I've increased my GVM, I don't actually legally have an increased GVM.
No. And the thing is as well, depending on the brand, so if that kit you've had put in has never been certified for a GVM ever,
right, okay,
technically you can't get a GVM certified unless you do it yourself.
Right, okay.
So, basically the kit that you've got, if they do that as a GVM kit and a non-GVM kit, as long as it has been GVM before, you can just get the paperwork and it's done. But if they put a kit in that's never been tested for a GVM kit, it can't be done unless you do the testing. Like with our 300, I've just done all the brakes. So we just did brake testing and all that, and that's for a 4.2 ton. So you have to get the engineer, load the car up to 4.2 ton, and you have to go do a whole heap of different braking scenarios.
So just to clarify from a layman's term point of view, when that car goes over the pits and say it passes, which should do, if I was to change the rear leaves to parabolics, because everyone constantly asks me, why have I gone away from parabolics? Nothing wrong with parabolics, but that is the kit that has to be there. If I change anything on that, then it's no longer the kit that's certified.
So
once you have it, that's it. That's what you got.
Did you know about this, Daniel from Dometic?
It's a can of worms.
Yeah.
Round a can of worms.
Yeah, far out. Yeah. That's full on. Oh, you do have a question. What do you got, mate?
Here we go.
I just planted the seed early.
Yeah.
Daniel have just asked. So what's my ideal canopy setup? And
everything included.
I think he's going to do it for free. He said.
Yeah. That's it.
No. How we get Luke to do it for you?
Yeah. Well, first thing you're dreaming. So.
Yeah, I didn't get the GVM papers, so I've got to go.
Yeah.
Might just buy a new car.
There's a 300 series over there for sale.
Yeah. You're trying hard to sell me that, mate. It's a good question, and obviously I'm not asking for a canopy for free, but the box canopy I love. Like I'd definitely, if I had my time again, because I started out with see you, mate. I've tried a couple of different things on the back of mine, but if I had have done it the first time, I think knowing what I know now, I would have gone straight to that.
Yeah,
spent the money and done it the right way. So
what have you got in the back now?
Well, it's just the canvas sort of style setup.
Yeah, right.
Which suits me for around here, and I can throw the dogs in there and they get some air because they've got the flywires on two sides, and works really well for access into the back of the tub as well. But I see some of these canopies floating around now, and that's why I probably shouldn't go over there.
Yeah,
because I'll probably start splashing. But
yeah,
that's the ideal. So I suppose it might be a good precursor into. But if I was going to come to you and set this up with a canopy of yours, what's like the... So I'm based in Perth, get out not as regularly as I would like, bit of a weekend warrior, say.
Yeah.
What would be a good idea for me to sort of get into with that style of canopy?
Well, man, like I say to everyone, get it built, leave it empty.
Ah, right.
And then work out how you want to set up.
So you can do that.
100%.
Put the box on and then we figure out.
Yeah, you can do it later. Like I say, like obviously depending on what fridge you're going to run.
Yeah.
I would always say mount your fridge. That's the first thing you want to do is mount your fridge where I would recommend it on this side of the passenger side, which I call the party side, because the fridge is always there and you've always got Bluetooth speakers and that hanging off it. So party side, have your fridge mounted at the very front and then where your electric is going to go and then work out what you want. Like in mine, we're building a Hilux for ourselves at the moment and I've just built a canopy pretty much with the fridge, a pantry, a travel buddy holder, and like a drawer with a table, and that's sort of our standard sort of thing, I want to say. After we've done a bit of travelling with a 70 on the party side, that's probably the best setup. On our driver's side, we've got a dog box on our 70, but we're not going to put a dog box in the Hilux.
Righto.
I don't know how I'm going to set that up yet, so it's bare, so I don't know what to do.
Are you already have you already made a decision on your Hilux, how you're going to do the canopy? You are going to go for an upright fridge?
Yes, there is an upright fridge.
Completely gone away from the drop down?
Mitigate
weight and all that?
So drop down fridges, the slides are way too heavy.
Oh, okay.
And then the fridges are way too heavy for the capacity that you can get. So the fridge I run, and I won't mention brand, I've got an upright fridge, and I won't mention brands just in case I'm not allowed to.
You can mention brands.
Okay, yeah. I won't, so that's all right. I got an 85 litre upright, and it weighs 32 kilos in total.
Yeah.
A fridge slide, which I won't mention brands, weighs about 40 kilos, and you can only put...
Some 50,
there you go. And then you can only put like a 60 litre chest fridge on it, so you got less capacity, and the chest fridge weighs what, 30, so you have it like
some
80
50.
Yeah, there you go. So you're almost at 80 to 90 kilos for a drop down fridge slide with a fridge with 60 liters, where upright's 85 liters at 32 kilos. It's a no-brainer, especially when people are worried about GVMs at the moment.
Yeah, and with the space in them as well.
So yeah, exactly. And the good thing about the upright fridges are they're tall, so it actually takes up that roof cavity.
Yeah, yeah.
Where when we put the old chest styles, even now, like you come to the workshop and I'm fitting some, much to my disgust, in people's stuff, but it takes up so much room in their canopy, and they come in, they're like, oh, I didn't realize it was going to take up that much room. Yeah. It's like, yeah, man, you've used like a quarter of your
canopy. Can't really put anything above it then.
Not really.
Like, you shelf it.
Yeah, like we just did one recently, and we put a travel buddy above it, so that's all right. But still, it's just too much weight, and I've converted a few customers about that, because if you'd asked me, what, 2 years ago, I would have said upright fridge is a waste of time, but never had one. And I put one in my 70 and went, oh my God, I'd never go back to another one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a really dumb question?
Yeah.
What do you think of a drop down with an upright?
That sounds like something you'd do, so it's stupid.
Good answer.
Walked into that one.
Yeah. Well done, mate.
Yeah.
It might actually be pretty good, though. You can sit here and then open it.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to open the door of your car properly, would you?
I wouldn't do it either.
You would.
Anyone want to ask a question? Yeah, we've got a question here, mate. Do you want to pop over here and say it into the mic? Yeah, come over here. Thanks, mate.
Sorry, I called you. I thought you were someone else. I called you Benny before.
No, that's right. More so for Luke.
Yeah.
Is there any vehicle you would not touch?
Oh, that's
hard. What are you looking at me?
I don't know. You know what? It depends. That's a very... What vehicle would I not touch?
Lada Niva? Would you chop a Lada Niva?
No, they're right. That's actually a very hard question. I don't know. Because everything's sort of got its place. So, no, I like FJs. I like everything.
Would you chop an FJ if you have one?
No.
Okay.
It would look cool, but yeah, I don't know. That's a funny. I don't know. I'd have to have one to actually work it out.
Going back to like the legalities of it all, is there? Maybe we can speak off air if you don't want to name who would, like, if there is a brand, but trying to, I suppose, work with one brand of car as opposed to a, you know, Land Cruiser or something like that, is there one that's a little bit trickier than others to get around the legalities of it all?
You know what, everything can be done,
okay,
as long as you can find the information out about the vehicle.
Yeah, right.
So a big thing for us, and I don't know if competitors in the east do what we have to do with the chassis stuff, but we have to get what the strength of the chassis is, which is MPA. It's not just you go order it from a steel place, bend up some chassis rails and weld it in. So we actually have to go to the manufacturer and get their vehicle repairers manuals, and you have to go through that, find where the chassis is, and to work out, okay, we're going to cut the chassis here, we need to go find that MPA material. And basically, if you can't find that MPA material, you're technically not allowed to extend the chassis, because you're putting the wrong tensile strength steel into that chassis.
Okay.
So it's like from my steel fixing days, you had Rio bar,
big,
and
blue and metal too,
and there's different MPAs, and they changed the law halfway through, so all the steels in Australia couldn't be used anymore.
Yeah, right.
Up to a certain point. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you put, you're mixing two different strengths, it's not going to work.
Yeah,
right?
No, exactly. Yeah. So anything can be done, like modified.
Yeah.
As long as you can find out what needs to be done.
Yeah, okay. Well, what are you bringing, Luke, then, mate? Are you A Ranger? Yeah, I'm with you. Throw it in together. I like it. Thanks for that, mate. Appreciate it. Anyone else got a question they want to ask Luke?
Got one more question?
Otherwise, we're right.
There we go. Uh-huh.
Yeah, perfect. All right, mate. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no dramas.
Appreciate you
Thank
taking
you.
Time out of your
nah,
busy
right.
schedule
it's good
to have
get
a
away
chat.
We've been getting absolutely hammered today. So
it's good to touch on some of that stuff that, I didn't think that was going to go there today. So it's actually good to cover that that side of things. So
I'm like, if I'm twitching my legs because I'm absolutely busting for a toilet. Oh, yeah. So anyone listening, I'm sorry if you're now busting for a toilet. Can you in the car somewhere driving?
Well, thanks to Maxis for around the tie pit. Thanks to Jaden for the name. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Doug.
Come over and have a look.
Come have a squeeze. See if I'm going to give some free shit.
You guys dragging this out so I can't go to the toilet?
No, four-drive podcast with my shoulder to the Southern Again. We let it ride. See you soon.